arms. I've been playing dominoes, I'm just trying not to wreck no cars. Putting fear in my nose and trying to keep up with all of my thoughts. If we're going somewhere, I'm ready. If it's just dirt, I'm not. I scrape my eye when I touch the sky and lose a little vision for the man. I can call it in my mind. I don't wanna hold nobody's hand. I can toss in the morning light. I'll play dead when I'm buried in the sand. I'm seeing shadows of a man who's homeless, buried and numb. A forecast of forgotten land. I hope it shows up in the setting sun. If we're going somewhere, I'm ready, honey. If it's nowhere, I'm done. I can hear a voice, but it's speaking cold.
On top of concrete, on top of concrete.
Like I'm talking to strangers on a foreign phone.
WMFO Medford, and you're listening to The Voicemobile. That was from Better Oblivion Community Choir, and it was called?
Dominoes.
Okay, I like it.
Thank you.
All right, very nice. Thank you. All right, so let's get our handy dandy book that's all the way over here. Know Your Cell Phone Rights. Bye bye, guys. Thanks. Whether you're taking your cell phone with you on a walk, in your car, or to a civil protest, you should know your legal rights. The U.S. Supreme Court unanimously ruled that police must obtain a warrant to search a person's cell phone. However, a phone without a passcode can readily be searched by anybody holding it. And a Virginia court recently ruled that a defendant can be compelled to unlock a device that's protected only by a fingerprint sensor. So, consider using a key code password and setting your phone screen to lock very quickly when no one is using it, particularly if you expect to be in a potentially volatile situation. While the police can't legally force you to unlock your phone, they can ask you to. And if you do that, you've forfeited your rights. The correct answer to a cop's request to search you, your vehicle, or your phone is, "No, officer, I do not consent to a search. Thank you." Finally, remember that the police can always ask a judge for a search warrant. So think carefully about what's stored on your phone, including photos, contacts, and app data. You can learn more about your rights from the Electronic Freedom Foundation on the web at EFF.org. A public service message from the EFF, and your freedom-loving friends here at WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. All right. Well, we've got through that. Now, let's share this. I know they just talked about it, but I'm going to do it, too. Oh, and it's not where I thought it was. Okay. We lost the page I'm looking for. Well, I guess I'll have to find it later. It was it was information about the fund drive that WMFO is having to try and get some help, trying to keep the station, you know, floating around. And if you like what you're hearing, you can go to WMFO.org and click in there to find ways to help. Okay. And also, I want to let you know that Medford Porch Fest is coming on June 3rd. Ah, okay, here we go. There's just hiding in plain sight. Okay, so if you love keeping the station freeform and supporting community radio, please consider donating to our 2023 donations drive. If you would like to pay online, go to give.tufts.edu. And then under the designations, select Arts, Sciences, and Engineering. Then Other. Then put WMFO, or you can write us a check. To check out our prize tiers and mailing address, go to WMFO.org and click the Donations Drive tab. Thanks for helping us keep it freeform. All right. So, yeah, it's a very nice thing if you want to help us out. And if you do that and you want to mention the voicemobile, if you like my show and you want to see that continue to happen, that's also a good thing to do. So let's see, what do I want here? Number 8.
I wish we never stole land, guns from the Indians. I wish we never made the black man slaves. Yes, as much as I love America, our freedom's got a few stains. I could do without Hollywood. Yes, Wall Street and L.A. No, it's written in God we trust on the dollar. Sometimes it feels like it's to the dollar we pray. In America, red, white, and blue. Yes, America, still I. Forget the Civil War, segregation and Vietnam. Yes, before we start preaching to the rest of the world, best we remember from where we've come. Yeah, the gap between the rich and poor, don't know if that's a bridge that can be crossed today. And the middle class is drowning down the river under bills they can barely pay. In America, red, white, and blue. Oh, America, still I love you. But I was born with freedom. Take it for granted in a world where evil and persecution have thrived. So America, yes, God bless you. Oh, America, red, white, and blue. Oh, yes,
children loud outside my balcony. The song is blurred, the wind has stirred forgotten memories. The carousel would play in a minor key. I closed my eyes so I could see. I looked at you, you looked at me. And there we were in the middle of life, and here we are in the middle of life. Rush, and seem to disappear. A friend in need, a friend indeed, would never shed a tear. The windmills of my mind didn't make a sound. My feet were planted on the ground. Was my purpose ever finally found? And there I was in the middle of life, and here I am in the middle of life. Kissed, the church bells wouldn't ring. The sparrow proud did take a bow, remembering to sing. The daffodils would bend with the slightest breeze. Chicago winters dared to freeze. And suddenly you asked me, where do we go in the middle of life? What do we do in the middle of life? Of life, what do we do in the middle of life? What do we do in the middle, in the middle, in the middle of life, in the middle of life? What do we do in the middle of life? Where do we go?
Explain that you are my heaven on earth. Still, I've tried in vain, since words can't explain my love and its worth. This much I know is true. There'll never be another you. That's why I'd work for you. I'd slave for you. I'd be a beggar or a knave for you. If that isn't love, it'll have to do until the real thing comes along. I'd gladly move the earth for you to prove my love dear and its worth for you. If that isn't to do until the real thing love you, darling, come what may. My heart is yours, what more can I say? I'd cry for you, I'd sigh for you, I'd tear the stars down from the sky for you. If that isn't love, it'll have to do until the real thing comes along.
Cry for you,
Wow, that was just exquisite. What a beautiful voice. This is Cara Campanelli. Her CD is entitled So Near and Until the Real Thing Comes Along. This is something that was produced and recorded at Futura Studios in Roslindale. So it was made locally, mixed by Ton Windmill, mastered by Jonathan Weiner at M-Works in Cambridge, Mass. And she can be reached at cara.campanelli.jazz@gmail.com. Well, let's see who else was playing on this. Adam Birnbaum on piano and Greg Gagnon on guitar, Greg Lohman on bass, and Jimmy Elcock on percussion. Well, I will certainly be playing more of this CD. It's just lovely. All right, so just about half hour here. WMFO. You're listening to The Voicemobile. I'm your host, Joyce The Voice. I'm not even sure if I said that. Okay. So I just was checking my phone, and there's an event coming up Sunday, May 7th at 6:45 at the Coolidge Corner Theater in Brookline, a Massachusetts premiere. This is part of the National Center for Jewish Films Annual Film Festival, and it starts May 7th, and this is the Coolidge Corner Theater. Oops, wait, we don't want that. Go back. I don't want comments. Okay, so Massachusetts premiere, question and answers with Lilka Elbaum, scriptwriter and protagonist of Still Life in Lodz, L-O-D-Z. That, oh my goodness, why does it keep doing this? That's not what I want. Okay, so let me see if we can get back to that again. Here we go. In this gripping love story set against the volatile backdrop of late 1960s communist Warsaw, Hania, a vivacious theater student, and Janek, a charming student and budding photographer, fall deeply in love. As the government crackdown on protesting students escalates, Hania undergoes a political awakening, which includes acknowledging that her fellow Jewish citizens are being persecuted in a series of anti-Semitic purges conducted in response to the hate-fueled rhetoric of Poland's leader, Władysław Gomułka. Unsure if the political winds will abate or escalate, her family weighs emigration. Hania wants to stay with Janek, but things spiral out of control, leading to a powerful climax set during the infamous events of March 1968. Warsaw-born director Krzysztof Lang drew inspiration from his own life in making this passionate and suspenseful film that lies at the collision of history and romance. Director Krzysztof Lang, Poland 2022, Polish with English subtitles. That's very interesting. Sunday, March 7th at 6:45. I think I just made a plan to do something else, but that sounds quite interesting, actually. So, all right, thanks, Yelena, for sending me that information. Okay, so we've listened to, I said, Cara, we just heard, and before that, Joni Palato. Her CD is called Accidental Melody. In the Middle of Life was the song, and this is also something new to me. This is from the folks in Southport Records. It comes out of Kate Smith Promotions, and she sends me a lot of up-and-coming artists or artists that I would not have been aware of. So all original music from singer-songwriter Joni Palato, and virtuoso guitarist and co-producer Farik Haq. And recording features an acoustic ensemble with percussionist Eric Hines, Juan Pastor on Cajon. How do you say it? Cajon? C-A-J-O-N. Cajon, I think. And percussion. That's where you sit on a square box and you play it with your hands or with something. Sometimes I've seen it played with brushes. The acoustic bass of John Christensen and pianist Bradley Parker Sparrow. All right. That's great. And we'll be hearing more from that, too. Now, before that, Laser Lloyd, song America from his CD Freedom's Child. And I opened up with Bob Dylan, Where Are You? From his CD Shadows in the Night. Okay, so where are we going next? Let's see. We're going to go to this one.
I'll tell you what I will miss. California horses down by the sailboats where we waited in. The feel of the world in my hands, my hands. The feel of the world in my hands, my hands, in my hands. Still so many ways that I love the wind from the storm in the sails to the breath on your lips. It's such a little thing. Then again
my hands, the feel of
Very nice. I'm just learning a little bit about this CD and this artist, Michael Weatherwax, and Tracks by Wax. Lynn's Lullaby, featuring Colin Kupka. And so Lynn is his wife, and she's apparently she's worked hard for decades as a nurse for L.A. County. So just reading a little bit, he's got quite an interesting history. Grew up in Burbank, California. He performed with the family band, and his father directed that band. He was an accomplished musician, taught in several different schools in Burbank. In Michael's teen years, he wrote for Henry Mancini TV special and The Tonight Show Band while studying with Hugh Montenegro, Earl Hagen, Quincy Jones, and Frederick Fennell. He was awarded High School Jazz Composer of the Year 2 years in a row and wrote and conducted the Monterey Jazz Festival while performing on lead trumpet in the California All-Star Band. There, he was asked to join the Stan Kenton Neophonic Orchestra, where he performed with legendary musicians Joe Pass and Louis Belson. So during his college years, he continued to compose and perform for different bands featuring his colleagues such as John and Jeff Clayton. Additionally, he played in Los Angeles with Rural Still Life, which soon became the band Toto. At 19, after recording a demo album with them, he traveled to Japan to work as a writer and accompanist for NHK. He loved performing, his accompanying skills that he mentored from the great Jimmy Rolls, who recorded with Sarah Vaughan and Carmen McRae. When he returned from Japan, he played keyboards for Universal, Disney, and MGM for several shows such as Knight Rider, Airwolf, and Fame. Subsequently, he arranged, recorded, performed music for the MGM Grand Theme Park in Vegas and the I Love Lucy, Blues Brothers, and Marilyn Monroe shows at Universal Studios in Hollywood. He started composing and arranging for movies from Roger Corman to Oliver Stone to the Hallmark Channel and TV shows such as Lassie and Twilight Zone. My goodness, he's got quite an interesting resume. Anyway, we'll be hearing more from that. Let's see. Before that, we heard Simone Dinnerstein, Tift Merrill, Feel of the World on a CD called Night. And let's see. Before that, I think that's where we are. All right. So
thank you. would like to tell you a typical day in Auschwitz, or typical to me as it was. Nazi woman. She enjoyed her job so much. I remember asking her after a few days, I said, you know, I was still a dumb kid. I said, you know, I've been here a few days and I haven't seen my mother and my sisters. Do you know where they are? And with such delight, she looked at me and she said, you see that tall chimney over there? You see the smoke coming out? Probably your mother. I don't know how I missed it, because the smell of human flesh burning is unbearable. And although we knew they were doing things, but I don't think that the very first few days we realized how bad it was.
That's pretty intense. Wally Brill, A Typical Day. It's from a CD called The Covenant. And yeah, it's pretty bone chilling. All right, I'm going to share a little bit from Kol Chevra, the 18th Yortzeit side of Reb Shlomo Kamach. The conversation with Reb Shlomo that changed my life. Since the early 1970s, Reb Shlomo Zatzal was my main exemplar of living Torah consciousness. Another word for Rebbe, I suppose. He had been my Rebbe for some time, but when I became a rabbi, I really, really, to the deepest depths, needed a Rebbe, especially when it came to a consequential question that faced me soon after officially becoming an Orthodox rabbi. It was the late spring of 1989. I had just returned from North America, where I was offered a very creative rabbinical position with a Reb Zalman Shlita, connected renewal community in which females participated equally in leading prayer and, of course, without a mechitza. Not this dividing between the men and women. Up until then, I was entrenched in Orthodox practice and had not stepped outside of it since my entry into it in the early 70s. I was unsure what to do. Could I, as an Orthodox rabbi, take that job? A conversation with the main Orthodox rabbi of the city I was considering made it clear that I would no longer be seen as an Orthodox rabbi if I were to be so employed. He and other local Orthodox rabbis wouldn't participate in a Beit Din with me. That's a formal court. And he wouldn't allow me to teach at his Orthodox school, though I was highly qualified and they needed good teachers. What would my Baalei Batim, board members, and Schulmacher say? He asked me an explanation. I realized the only person I could really ask about this was Reb Shlomo. I made sure to be on the Moshav for the next Shlomo Shabbos. Moshav is this place in Israel. And sometime on Shabbat, I asked him if I could consult on a pressing question. He, of course, said yes and suggested we talk after Shabbat ended. It was a quiet Motzei Shabbat. No concerts, no weddings. It must have been during the 3 weeks. Reb Shlomo invited me to accompany him to his home. We came in. He knocked off a quick Havdalah with no Shlomo Nigudim for his holy family and took me to his room to talk privately. After explaining my situation, including the Baalei Batim rationale, I asked, so if I take this job, does that mean I'm not Orthodox anymore? He smiled at me and said, Chas v'shach v'chalila, you'll be even more Orthodox. I still don't really know what he meant by that. But before I could ask him, he continued by asking me who the rabbi was that said that to me. I named him. He was from a distinguished rabbinic family. And he said, I know him. I did his bar mitzvah years ago. He then fixed his gaze directly on me. Listen, I want to ask you something. What percentage of these Baalei Batim are Mechalel Shabbat Mefarchisha, desecrate Shabbat publicly by driving to Shul, and so forth, and therefore also invalid as witnesses? I said, I don't know, 70%? He said, higher, probably closer to 90%. And they're going to be judging you? For what? For helping women get closer to the Torah and God? I used to give women aliyot long before anyone else. That's when you're called up to the Torah. I later researched this, and it seems there were a few instances at the house, the San Francisco House of Love and Prayer, when he gave women aliyot. His words had a big and immediate impact on me. Yes, of course. How absurd to be so externally focused that the ikar, most important, had become tafel, secondary, and the tafel had become ikar. His simple